The people of the world often use relationships as a means to an end. Oftentimes they will connect with others in order to get ahead in society, in order to satisfy their own desires or their own needs. Oftentimes those people are less the object than the objects the people are chasing. In the kingdom of God, it is supposed to be just the opposite. Relationships, relationship to God and relationship to other people are to be the most critical thing. After all, at the coming of Jesus, the only thing that will continue on into eternity from this world are the relationships that we carry. So tonight, we are going to look at the mindset of forgiveness as it is found in the relationships that we have. And we're going to note this in Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We see that there is an admonition here when it comes to our relationships with other people, that we first of all put to death the earthly nature. Take a look at verse 5. Whatever belongs to the earthly nature, and there's a listing of evil attitudes, mindsets, behaviors, all of these must be done away with. Now, obviously, putting this to death, I remember one description that each day the Christian is to put to death the old Adam, the old sinful self. The only problem is every day it comes to life again. It springs to life. So it's a daily battle. We have to continuously fight and subjugate the old sinful self. It never gets easier with time, does it? Maybe the struggles, maybe the temptations might morph into different forms and different shapes over time, but it never gets easier. Doesn't matter if we're 10 or 90, we still have to fight to the death this sinful nature within us. And of course, we assume then, I think properly so, that the other believers in the body of Christ are fighting this same struggle. We are all struggling to gain victory over our fleshly nature, over our evil nature. Take a look at verse 8. It's saying, you must rid yourselves of things such as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Notice how many of these are relational. Things that you would display to other people: anger, rage, malice, slander. These are all interpersonal things of a negative type. So when it comes to our relationships and being willing and able to forgive other people, first of all, it has to start with the change in our hearts and minds. If we anticipate that we are going to be forgiven by others, we need to be actively putting off these behaviors. We don't want to be giving opportunity to cause offense, to cause other people to stumble. So we have to make the decision that these will not be part of our Christian life. Obviously, again, because of the battle that rages within us, we're not going to do this perfectly, but we should seek to have consistency in how often we put these aside. And then in verse 11, there's a very important principle regarding forgiveness and having a forgiving spirit of others. That is in verse 11. Here, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Well, when he says here, he means in the church. So when it comes to our relationship with our fellow believer, we are all equal under Christ. We are not to have a haughty spirit or a mindset that we are superior to someone else because of our social standing or because of intellect or because of our experience in the church and service to the Lord. Any of these things could be the cause of arrogance. And if we have an arrogance about ourselves, we're not going to feel very kindly disposed towards someone who we deem lesser. And that will, of course, prevent us from having a truly forgiving spirit. So the principle of equality in Christ is critical, that we have a humility, that we see ourselves in the proper light as we are all one under Christ. One of my favorite parts about this passage in Colossians 3, when it comes to forgiveness and our relationships to other people, as we've been highlighting forgiveness this season, is the image and the analogy of clothing ourselves. Look at how many times there is used a phrase to describe our attitudes and mindsets as though it's a outfit, as though it's a set of clothes. Take a look in verse 9. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Take a look at verse 12. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with those attitudes, compassion, kindness, humility, and the like. Take a look at verse 14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You can almost get the impression of someone dressing for the day. Let's say it was not as glamorous and gorgeous of a March day, and let's say it was more like the typical Wisconsin March, and we might have a lot of snow cover. If you had to dress for that, you would need to dress appropriately, and you might put on several layers of clothing, and then you might have an outer garment in order to keep you warm, and some gloves, and possibly a scarf or a hat. All of these things would be necessary to be properly facing the cold, to face the day. Well, what about facing the world? What about facing the temptations, the bombardment of issues that we see every day? What about interacting with others in a spirit, in a mindset that is Christ-like, a mindset that is willing to, as the scriptures say, consider others as better than yourselves, build one another up in the Lord? All of these admonitions and encouragements, if we're to approach other individuals like this, how do we dress? Well, every morning we go to the closet or the drawers, right? And we pick out what we are going to put on that day. We get to choose our own personal style, right? Now, some of us are not that much into fashion, but I believe all of us are into clothes. We don't go running around like streakers, right? We have to have dressed attire, right? Well, in the same way, we have a choice what kind of mindset we will clothe ourselves with. The old sinful self must be taken off and put aside. You can just imagine an individual who was a street person, who was wearing such homely, shoddy clothing, and now they have been blessed by someone to receive an entirely new outfit. they would look entirely different. Their whole demeanor would change. They would have to take off the old, however, in order to receive the new. It would be foolish to keep the old and put the new over it. That wouldn't be very successful, would it? In the same way, as a Christian, we have to determine each day to clothe ourselves with the Spirit of the Lord. I like that analogy. It's something all of us can do. We can each make the determination that this particular day, we are not going to run around clothed with the mindset of the world, which operates from things in verse 8 such as anger, malice, rage, slander, filthy language. Those are decisions that people choose to have those mindsets and attitudes and to express them. As believers in Christ, we face each day with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and determine to clothe ourselves, in verse 12, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then, as it says, almost like the final piece, the great outer garment over all this, in verse 14, over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We've been talking about forgiveness, about the necessity to forgive, as it says here, as God in Christ has forgiven you. I think the analogy of the clothing is wonderful. We each struggle with our fight with sin every day. And you know at some point you're going to hit somebody on a bad day. You're going to have someone at some point who is going to be unkind, maybe angry, maybe short-tempered, judgmental, whatever it is. You're going to run into somebody like this and they're not going to treat you well. You have a decision then what to do. Are you going to join them in that kind of attire, or are you going to be a person clothed with the Spirit of Christ? Forgiveness works much better when we remember that everyone in the body is struggling with the old sinful flesh, and when we determine that regardless of how people treat us, we are going to clothe ourselves with the mindset of Jesus. Amen.